I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, I'm Danny D. Dubs Wright, a name Mort called me because he thinks it doesn't embarrass the both of us. D. Dubs is the producer of this delightful little show, Rebrand, and I'm here to present you with a fun episode where Mort gets real about his ADD and then swings wildly into indescribably filthy territory. But that's Rebrand for you. We've got a Patreon where you can do all kinds of cool things, like see video versions of episodes, get a variety of bonus content, and join our Discord server. Speaking of, starting January 15th, we'll be doing monthly hangouts for our Patreons. These will be anything from a hangout, a Q&A. Personally, I have some games I'm excited to play with you guys. So if you've got a spare $5 in your pocket, come and join us. And Happy New Year, guys. Hope you had a great one, and we can't wait for you to be here whilst we see what's to come in 2026.
Oh, welcome to Rebrain, the podcast where we inject new life into tired old brands, whether they be snack foods, celebrities, or religious institutions. I'm Ashley Birch.
And I'm Mort Burke.
We're your hosts. Welcome back. Happy New Year 2026.
Happy 2026, you guys. I hope you've had a good week so far. We had a lovely break of high highs and lows, as the Christmases always bring.
Oh, yeah. Holidays are a real emotional roller coaster, as the kids say.
Yeah, they do a number on your insides, I find.
And your outsides.
And sometimes your outsides.
Because you eat a lot of, that's also insides, I guess. I was going to say you eat a lot of cheese if you're us.
Yeah, but then it turns into the outside.
That's true.
You got a little cheese tummy. So I want to get one of this. I want to get into this rebrand quick because it's really right here on my mind.
Yes.
Which is, I want to rebrand hyperfixation.
Could you explain what that means to the non-ADHD among us?
Yes, what hyperfixation means. Mm-hmm. So it's this thing that might look like work ethic, but what it is actually is a compulsion to continue to work unceasingly on something that you're hyper-focused on. To the point that it becomes like not only kind of unhealthy, but also not good for the project, I find. Because you like overwork and then you kind of like strangle the life out of it and the spirit out of it.
Uh-huh.
And I have it really badly. And I didn't start addressing my ADD until I was, 42 or something? Like,
it was pretty recent, yeah.
Yeah, I've got on medication that's really working for probably like the last 2 years. So the interesting thing about it is that I'm really able to see the hyperfixation, whereas before I was just being driven by it and I didn't realize it was there. So it's, in a way, it's like the medication's super helpful, but it's also kind of the beginning of the journey in some ways, which is addressing the symptoms that you weren't aware of.
So from my perspective as your loving wife,
yes,
it'll be a thing where like you're working on, like you filmed a second comedy special,
mm-hmm,
that you're editing yourself.
Yes.
And so, you know, you'll be in bed like editing on your laptop or something. I'll go downstairs. I'll be doing some other stuff. I'll come back up maybe like 2 hours later and you haven't moved.
Yep.
And I'll have to be like, honey, are you hyperfixating? And you go, yes, immediately.
And that's
the pause.
And I feel like that's the medication, I think.
Is being able to identify
it. The medication is being able to go, yes, please help me. Like, pull me out of this fucking unending well. Because here's what I realized too, like sort of kind of meditating on it and really trying to be aware of what's happening in my body is, I think the reason that it's bad is it's driven by anxiety. So for example, I just posted a new Instagram reel at Mort Burke on Instagram. And I'm trying to be more consistent with the Instagram reel posts and stuff, trying to build the old audience. And I will spend 4 hours on a 9-second reel. And it's because I think I don't look good, or it's not funny enough, or I feel like it's hacky. It's like driven by insecurity. So
4 hours on 9 seconds. What's the minute breakdown?
Yeah. It requires quantum physics to understand like the amount of energy per second on that. You know? It's absurd. And like, yeah. And so here's what I learned about it, is that I'm both extremely confident and wildly insecure, and I'm trying to work on the wildly insecure. And what I think is that when you approach things with insecurity, that insecurity is the engine. So because you think that you're going to address the insecurity by, quote, getting it right, but the reality is that there is no getting it right because the problem is the insecurity.
So part of hyperfixation, it sounds like, is perfectionism.
Definitely. I would say, yeah, it's an extremely exaggerated version of perfectionism. Because there's also the kind of perfectionism, or it's a different, I shouldn't say exaggerated, because there's also the kind of perfectionism where you can't even get started.
Right.
Then there's the kind of perfectionism where you can't end. This is part of it. That's part of that. And it's also related to the type of perfectionism where you can end something, but you can't put it out.
Wow. So there's like three gates to it.
I think so. And I think it's, and all of them, I would argue, are driven by a kind of insecurity, which sucks because the natural instinct for human beings is to like create, I think. And so right. I think the desire to like make some kind of artful thing, whatever it is, put it out, something funny, something beautiful, whatever. That's like the natural part. And the trauma-based part, or whatever is the causing of it, the insecurity part, that's like fighting against the net, because a kid doesn't care. Kid in a sandbox is like, look at this beautiful, you know what I mean? I made a little sandcastle. You're like, that's just a mound. They're like, I'm a genius. You're like, nice work, you know? And so this is almost the opposite of that. That like, there's a, you know, a cruel voice in your head that is like, it's never good enough or whatever.
Well, I think also it interacts with your ADHD, because people with ADHD have time blindness.
Mm-hmm.
Which, do you want to explain time blindness a little bit?
Yeah, time blindness is, but it's like blindness, but about time. So what it means is that I'm incapable of really figuring out how to be on time for something, and that,
or how long something takes.
Right. And it truly is a like clinically testable time processing disorder.
Yeah.
So it makes you look like you're kind of lazy and don't give a shit. But the reality is like, I have a great deal of anxiety around it. And I've had so many moments in my life where I'm driving to something, I'm late and I wish I were dead and everyone else I knew was dead. And certainly the people I'm going to meet were dead, you know? And it's not like,
you're like, phew, I can't be late. They're all dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of wishing for death. So I can't, like, it's not like I'm moseying in being like, hey, Mr. Cool, sorry I was late. It's like, no, I thought this is going to take 20 minutes. I thought breakfast is going to take 20 minutes and this is going to take 20 minutes. But breakfast actually took 45 minutes. And then I actually had to shower and this drive took 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some of the people that I love most in my life have profound ADHD. Yeah. I don't know how that's happened, is that I'm just surrounded, because I guess the opposite of ADHD is autism. I don't believe I'm autistic, but in terms of time blindness, I have the opposite of it. I am extremely accurate and aware of time.
Yes.
Usually I can tell how long something took without looking at a clock.
Yes.
So it's interesting now, you've taught me a lot about ADHD and I have a lot more understanding and empathy for you and for my friends that have it. And now I find it sort of charming that I'll be talking to a friend and she'll be like, well, yeah, we can totally do this meeting and then go get lunch and come back and be able to play this game for, you know, an hour before we have to go out to that event. And I'm like, what you just described is going to take 8 hours.
Mm-hmm, yep.
You think you can do all that stuff in the space of like 2?
Yep.
I'm telling you, I like know how you move in space and time. That's going to be 8 hours.
Yes.
Like cut half of those tasks off your list.
Yeah. And when I'm involved in something that is that I'm hyper fixating on, and that doesn't just have to be work. It can also be like in a shower or something. I think I'm in.
What are you hyperfixating on in the shower?
My own penis. No, I'm like, I'm just staring.
Like, whoa.
Sort of quizzically.
Huh? Quizzically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
A day and then a night pass. no, I'm often just sort of like involved.
It's a skeleton in the shower. Sorry.
But I'm usually involved in some sort of like either daydream or internal monologue or planning of some kind or imagining some sort of success or failure. But I do think that I am more easily pulled out of reality in a way. Like, it's almost like the person is like, that's the person, your friend is like, before you guys have to be somewhere, is like, we'll play a game, we'll watch a movie, we'll go and get dinner, we'll talk, we'll have all this fun.
Uh-huh. I'll talk to my father that I haven't spoken to in 5 years.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
We'll clean that up real quick and we'll make them, you know,
we'll descale my toilet. We'll clean the whole house. Right.
Yeah. We'll grout the shower, all that shit. Finally bathe the dog. And so there's something about that stuff that pulls me into kind of a world of fantasy. And it's also with editing and stuff like that, it's also very like, the intellect is involved in this world of fantasy, and that's a very intellect-based experience.
Sorry, could you explain that more?
Yeah, so it's hard to explain. It's like, I feel like you're more in touch with the reality because you're able to see, like, this will take an hour. This uh-huh. other thing will take 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sort of imagining the thing as I want it to be, not how it really is going to be.
I see. And you are wishfully thinking that editing a short clip will take you 2 hours
yeah.
or something, or an hour.
And honestly, it should.
Well, should is also a bit of a construct though, right?
Right, right. I'm not sure I was going with that kind of theory, but it just seems to me like there is an aspect of it that is kind of daydreamy, but
uh-huh.
it's not from lack of giving a shit. It's like being kind of hypnotized and pulled into this other realm.
It feels kind of good to you to hyperfixate, doesn't it?
Well, it feels like I'm accomplishing something. But then if I do it too long, it does just become anxiety, and the anxiety kind of feeds itself. So I've spent...
Man, that's intense, honey.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's definitely been points when I first was editing Rebrand that I've spent like 3 hours on 5 seconds. I'm not kidding.
Woo!
Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Like, this isn't funny enough. This isn't funny enough. This isn't funny enough.
That sounds a little bit like hell, honey.
Yeah, it's awful. It's fuck that aspect of it is, and it's obviously like, to me, it's some sort of like, it's obsessive, it's compulsive, and it feels disordered. So it's
sure.
It's also some version of that.
Uh-huh.
You know?
So the current brand of hyperfixation is hellish.
I find it to be kind of hellish.
It is a prison from which you can't escape.
If I would be totally down for it if it was, or if it had like a testable benefit, you know what I mean? Because I think it's, for a time it does, like I know how to edit pretty well at this point. I'm good at comedy. You know what I mean? Like all this other shit that I've done and done and done and done and obsessively.
Well, okay. We've talked about this kind of before in terms of your ADHD. We'll talk about there's a lot of stuff we learned about ADHD, I think, in the last few years.
Right.
One of the symptoms is that you can't really, maybe it's difficult to sleep at night, right?
Yep.
So we call you the night watcher.
Yep.
That's changed a lot, actually, for you.
That's changed a lot.
But for the first 9 years of my relationship with Mort, 9.5 years,
yeah.
You were a night owl.
Yeah.
And we would talk about, we called you the night watcher because we kind of talked about it being like imagining, you know, back in the olden times in the caveman days, that it probably was beneficial for a clan to have a night watcher
mm-hmm.
to make sure that there aren't any, you know, bears or lions or whatever the fuck. Bandits coming in to kill the clan in the night.
Yep.
So I sort of wonder if they're, not to say that you should hyperfixate, but I'm sure there is like an adaptive aspect to it.
Yes, some sort of evolutionary thing. Yeah, there's an element of like, it's weird because it doesn't seem like it, but there is an element of like vigilance to it.
Right.
So I think those two things probably are related. And then now, just to like as a little tip, if anybody has trouble going to sleep, we got this. I'm very sensitive to light. Also, like I'm a very sensitive sleeper.
Yeah.
And also I didn't want to go to bed because I think historically, like I hated school so much that going to bed was always felt like the beginning of the next day, which is going to be terrible.
I had that for the first time last night, I think, that I could recognize that. I actually meant to talk to you about this today because I was like, I'm sure this is how Mort felt a lot, which is I was going to bed and I was like, I could feel myself not wanting to go to sleep because I knew I had a bunch of shit to do today and I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And there was a logic of like, if I don't sleep, tomorrow will never come,
yeah.
Which doesn't actually make sense.
Nope.
You'll just see the sun. You will literally see the day dawn.
Yeah. You're just fucking exhausted. But what I would sort of compulsively do is postpone until like, yeah, well, it does make it seem like it takes longer for the day to come.
Uh-huh.
And I'm spending more time doing shit that I like doing, which is either like hyperfixating on editing or watching skateboarding or comedy shit or whatever.
Right.
So, but we got this, we have this really beautiful Night Watcher sleep machine.
Universe light.
Yeah, it's called the Universe light.
I don't know what it is. It's like one of those lights that like projects stars yeah. on your ceiling.
Right. So it's this really sort of
galaxy light.
This really sort of gentle like starscape now across mm-hmm. our ceiling. And that like calms my inner child who's a little bit afraid of that a scary man's gonna come in the room if I fall asleep, if I don't have my eyes peeled all night long.
I wonder why you feel that way.
Yeah, whoops.
Ooh-wee.
So, and it's been amazing. Like, it feels like a true miracle. And I, to me, and I'll just say this personally, like, it does feel very spiritual to me because I do a lot of like spiritual work. I do a lot of therapy. I do a lot of recovery stuff. And I feel like there's this, you know, we're in LA, so I will use the word consciousness. Like, I do feel like, even if using consciousness in the way of to understand awareness, right? I'm becoming aware of this thing of like, oh, a little part of me is kind of scared of the dark. Okay, how can we address that?
Mm.
That's like a level of awareness, right? So that is related to consciousness. And once you get more information.
Could you say more about consciousness? I feel like you kind of blazed past that word.
I consider consciousness to be all of our awarenesses together. So we tend to.
Like all people.
No, yeah, like individual. So like my sense of smell, taste, sound, thoughts, feelings, things that I know,
mm-hmm.
those are all related to my consciousness.
Okay.
Like, I feel like we tend to separate things where we're like, okay, you have a mind, you have a body, you have food, you have thoughts. But the reality is like consciousness, I think of it as the way all those things work together.
The whole mort enchilada.
Yeah.
The mort enchilada.
Yep, exactly right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So somehow like adding educational, learning more things about myself, learning more spiritual things, learning more things about what ADD is. Then I've been gifted this incredible thing where now I can wake up at like 7:30 and meditate. Which
never used to happen
is fine. Like a normal person's pretty able to do pretty well.
Well, normal. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think we sort of do this thing. I say we, meaning like society, where we go, there is a normal man somewhere, and these are the things that he does.
Yeah,
and we must all adhere to what normal man does.
Right,
which is wake up at this time, go to bed at this time, exercise this much, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
and that guy doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So totally. All to say, yeah. You know.
Right. No, and I love who I am, and I love the night mort, and I love day mort, and all that shit. It's all fine, you know. But I think to live in a world where I've got a cape and like a duck mask for some reason. I don't know why.
Night mort, working on my night mort.
So but to get along in this world, you're going to get more done, and you're going to feel more at home if you're able to get up in the morning because everything happens during the day. So like if you're going to accomplish it here, with the exclusion of stand up, but even that is like there's still plenty of stuff you got to do during the day, you know?
So bringing it back to the kind of premise of the show.
Yeah, yeah, rebrand.
Rebrand, which is what our show is called.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you want to rebrand hyperfixation?
I want people to have different schedules for themselves and have that to be allowed. Like I think we already in the pandemic it was cool because a lot of more people get to work from home now.
Uh-huh.
So that can also lead to isolation, which isn't good.
I think
we need more communal meetings where people are actually in the room with each other. But the cool thing is like you don't have to be in the office. You know what else you don't have to do? You don't have to work from 8 to 5.
Uh-huh.
Like that's why. That right. is leftover from the fucking factories and from like agriculture, which is not how shit works anymore for a lot of people.
You know what I wonder? What am I trying to say? Does my mouth work anymore?
Mm.
What I wonder is if, huh? What's the sentence that I'm trying to say? Hold on one second. Let me just. I wonder if that is this phrase I was trying to say.
Huh.
I wonder if what would be helpful. That's what I was trying to say.
Uh-huh.
Wow. My brain fully short circuited. That was, honey, that's a picture of what you're in for. Don't delete it.
No.
Keep that shit in.
Okay. Keep it in.
Fuck it.
Okay, cool. I wanted to write it down in case we needed to delete it.
No,
okay.
Fuck it. This is a look into your future, dear.
Yeah.
It's just going to be me going, wah, wah, wah. Huh? Huh?
I don't know. I think you're the last person I expect to actually have dementia, but
I imagine for some reason I picture
because she's so on it. You're so fucking on it. That's the other thing I would do want to mention. We need to get into how to rebrand it. But I think you do have almost the opposite, which I consider to be this kind of Gemini energy, which is the way to like very clearly stop something and start something else.
Yeah.
I like those boundaries are not nearly as clear for me.
Yeah. You know how sometimes you'll have this thing of like, oh, I wonder if I have that condition, or maybe I'm this, or maybe I've never had that with ADHD.
Yeah.
No. Never once in my life was I like, do I have ADHD? No.
Yep.
Definitely not.
But you do, it's interesting because you do have like, you have the ability to focus for long periods of time,
yeah.
But it's not necessarily a compulsion.
No, right. I would not say it is.
Right.
So the thing that I was going to say was, I wonder if what would be helpful is if we had a special alarm for people with ADHD that was geared toward helping with hyperfixation. Because it sounds like it gets to a point where it is no longer good for you and it becomes anxiety inducing.
Yes.
So I'm wondering what that would look like if we
Sounds like we attach it to a Fitbit or something that records your biofeedback chemistry.
Uh-huh.
And then plays the sales song where it goes, blame it on my ADD, baby. Da-da-da-da! And then you go, okay, that's a pleasant enough song. I can like, because I don't want an alarm to be like,
right.
You know, not
right.
One of those.
Right.
It's got to be the sales song.
So you'll just have a watch basically. So what would that, it would be tracking your heart rate maybe, or like,
your breath rate.
Yeah. Right. When it starts to peak after a certain amount of time.
Yeah. And it needs to record some sort of ocular thing where you're like, your eyes kind of glaze over and they're exhausted. That happens a lot.
When you hyperfixate.
Yeah.
You kind of go cross-eyed and you just,
totally. If you're on a screen, instead of your eyes dry out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you start to age.
Oh.
I know, it's pretty bad. So, okay.
It feels like you're describing the guy opening the Ark in Raiders.
That's what it feels like.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, just fire shoots out of the screen and your face melts.
So, at what hour point do you feel like, how long do you wish you could work? And then stop.
I guess it depends on the thing. Like, oh, here, okay, this is great. I don't know how we test for this, but I heard I told you this. There was this author who said this thing that was when they're writing, they write up until the point that they become excited to keep writing, and then they stop and they come back the next day, and that's how they keep the momentum alive.
Interesting.
Whereas the hyperfixation thing for me causes me to go, I have to complete this task. Which is the opposite of that, basically.
Okay, I have an idea.
Hit me.
So my friend who I have diagnosed as having ADHD.
Great, love it.
Because I'm a doctor.
You want to say their full name?
I'm going to say their full name and their address and their social. She 1,000% has ADHD.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's no doubt in my mind.
Yep.
She's got the greatest hits. Mm. Time blindness. I have to, like... It's kind of like I said, it's sweet because now I kind of understand. So someone will say something and she'll go, oh, that's interesting. Let me look that up. And I'll be like, babe, you need to order lunch for yourself.
Mm.
She'll go, right. You know, it's a bit like you'll die.
Yeah.
So focus on that one thing first. But she loves co-working. I think there's a term, body doubling.
Yeah, totally.
Is like an ADHD thing.
Yeah, it's very good for that. Yeah, very helpful.
So I wonder if we could provide a service for people with ADHD where there is just a person like on Zoom with you.
Yeah.
That probably shouldn't have ADHD so that it can help you with your hyperfixation, but they hang out with you as you work.
Right.
So you're body doubling.
Right.
And then they check in with you at some point and are like,
yep.
Are you hyperfixed? Like, how long have you been you've been going at this task for X amount of time? How you doing?
I think it's great. I think they could either, yes, have not have ADHD or have ADHD. I bet I could help somebody do that. And Yeah, I think so. It's like the alcoholics working with each other and stuff.
It's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, I think it's like easier to see in you. But I understand how you're feeling and I don't want you to exhaust yourself. I don't want you to go without food. So I'll be like, okay, we're in hour three. How you doing? And also to say, like, you are beautiful. Your worth is not based on this thing that you put out at all. There is no way to affect your worth as a human being. It is already infinite. So given that, are you excited to continue doing this? Or do you feel compelled to continue doing this? Because if you don't get it right, something's wrong with you.
Okay, honey. I have an additional idea on top of this.
Great.
As an expansion of it.
I love it.
Which is inspired by my new favorite website, cowboysforangels.com.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar. Yeah.
So I just... So I'm part of a book club, which only reads romance novels. It started as a joke and then just very quickly became actually just what it is.
So real.
And so we read this book called The Kiss Quotient, and the premise of it is...
Wait, will you say the name of the one you're reading right now?
Oh, the one that we just started is called Morning Glory Milking Farm.
Oh, I didn't know that!
Morning Glory Milking Farm is about a young woman
okay.
who just can't get a job.
Oh, no.
And so she signs up to become a milkmaid, I guess?
Sure, a milkmaid,
At a farm for minotaurs.
Uh-oh.
Spoiler alert, the milk ain't milk.
Oh, no, it's minotaur cum?
Of course it is, honey.
Yipe! Whoa, honey.
What, did you think it was milk? Did you actually think it was milk?
No. I just didn't think it was going to be that risque to be
honey.
Oh, these minotaurs, fuck.
No, so she jacks off minotaurs for money.
Show over, new show starts, a show where we only talk about how minotaurs fuck. That's crazy.
Just a wholesome group of people.
I mean, that's
getting together, eating snacks, very little alcohol, almost none, and we just we review books about people jacking off minotaurs.
This is maybe the sharpest turn we've made from something relatively wholesome to something as filthy as possible.
Welcome to Rebrand.
They got big ass dicks or what?
Oh, okay. Here, apparently, so three people in the group have already read this book.
This is their second time around.
And they just, there's a Dan in the book, shout out to Dan who listens to Rebrand.
Oh, what's up, Dan?
What's up, Dan? He's been recommending, he's like, look, we got to read Morning Glory Milking Farm. He's brought it up like a bunch of meetings in a row. So I was like, we got to do it. You know,
yeah,
we sort of decided. Anyway, so it's been mentioned before in this group. And so people are like, well, obviously I have to figure out what the fuck is going on with Morning Glory Milking Farm. And so some people have already, I think, listened to it because there's an audiobook. And at one point,
Danny begins Googling.
Danny's furiously Googling. She's never Googled so hard in her life. At one point, the main character is describing the Minotaur's dick. And she says, her two hands barely fit around it.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you try to mime that.
Yep.
Like we were talking about that at the last book club meeting. And my friend and I were like, that's your thigh. Like, if your two hands can barely fit around, that's the size of my quad.
Yeah.
That's how big the dick is, to answer your question.
Thick-ass minotaur.
Why did I bring any of this up? Oh, because Cowboys for Angels.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, sorry.
Though. The homoerotic English series called, one of which is called A Nobleman's Guide to Seducing a Scoundrel.
Yes, that's right. Well, that's just a book I've read in my own free time.
I really like that.
The first one is called... The Secret Lives of Country Gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I love
delightful. Delightful gay romance.
Yeah, I sort of just love the posh.
Oh, they're very One's one's posh and one's not, honey. That's the fantasy. That's
exactly right. But it's clearly written for the posh or for the nobleman in theory.
Well, pick your poison. Who do you most relate to?
And it also really illustrates that the appeal of the bad boy really is across ages. You know,
across ages, across sexualities.
Yeah, they say scoundrel, they mean bad boy.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Bad. Okay, so the reason I brought any of this up is that. Yeah. To bring us back. What a tangent. I mean, in your defense, how could we just blaze on past Morning Glory Milking Farm?
Wait, do people think, okay, so do they give it to the public and the public says it thinks it's milk?
I think it is marketed as Minotaur cum. Yeah. I believe it has some sort of health benefit.
Right, it has a restorative property of something.
I will say I also mentioned this at work, and now it is brought up at least once a day.
Yeah, this is, see...
And then one of my coworkers was like, I did try to listen to it, and I feel like I have to stop because it's changing my brain chemistry.
Can I tell you, that's what's so great about being in a comedy writer's room is...
You can just talk about Morning Glory Milking Farm.
Yeah, any other profession, you'd be immediately fired.
Oh, yeah.
Instead, you're celebrated.
Yeah, they hoisted me on their shoulder.
Yay!
Hey! Actually, it became a phrase in the room. John started saying, like, not to milk your minotaur. Like, not to steal your thunder or not to, you know. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to milk your minotaur.
Hey,
but
don't get upset. There's no reason to cry over spilt minotaur cum.
Okay, so to bring it back to what the fuck we were talking about. The last book that we read was called The Kiss Quotient. And the premise of The Kiss Quotient is that there's an autistic woman named Stella who her parents are pressuring her to have a kid, but she isn't comfortable with sex. And so she's like, okay, well, to have a kid, I need to become comfortable with sex. So I can find a partner that will have sex with me and we will have kids together. And so to get comfortable, she hires a male escort. And then the whole premise is that they, of course, fall in love with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like
kind of reverse Pretty Woman.
Kind of a reverse Pretty Woman. Mm-hmm. So at our book club meeting, we were like, how much could this guy make? Like, what's the going rate? And right. then my friend Christina found the website, Cowboys 4, the number 4.
Oh, thank God.
Numeral 4. Yeah, yeah. Cowboys4angels.com. Yeah. Uh-huh. And we looked at their rates because the rates are on the website, nice. which is good. I like the transparency.
Yeah, totally. And then you don't have to worry about haggling.
You know, you don't have to haggle. Mm-hmm. It varies based on your cowboy.
Are they all cowboys?
Well, they're called cowboys.
Okay.
Many of them do not give off the vibe of a cowboy, I must say.
Got it.
That is sort of the descriptor that the website has chosen to
right,
go with.
Right.
So it varies based on the cowboy.
Yep.
But their hourly rate is around $300 to $350.
Which is, okay, and that feels about standard. It's like a general, I feel like that's like a, it's similar to like a therapist, or I would assume.
That's an expensive therapist.
It's an expensive therapist, but it's also like a, it feels like a good sex worker would cost that amount.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And then for like a week.
Talented.
You could get him for a week. At like $17,000 to $22,000.
Unbelievable.
Now, unbelievable.
These guys have to be smoking hot, right?
Some of them are smoking hot. I mean, look, there's a flavor for all comers.
Interesting. Okay, sure. A less traditionally attractive cowboy.
Yeah. You know, more of a skinny cow. Maybe you want more of a skinny cowboy with kind of a curly hair thing going. Or maybe you want more of a, you know.
Sounds like you're, okay, okay.
Yeah. And they operate out of all sorts of cities. So if you're interested... Cowboys. We should contact Cowboys for Angels and see if they'll sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should only get the weirdest possible sponsors that we can.
It's pretty funny. Question, are there services listed? That's so much money. I think you would want to be like, okay, he's going to cook you lunch. He's going to like...
It's actually kind of sad when you look at it because it's
it sounds fucking real sad.
Because the descriptions are like, this is a man that will listen to you when you talk. Look you in the eyes.
Jesus.
Open the door for you. Yeah, you got to talk to your gender, babe. They're really...
I can't help them.
But anyway, I brought all of this up to say, I wonder if we could do a Cowboys for Angels equivalent kind of thing for our ADHD friends.
Okay. Love it.
Which
love
is
it.
To have a sort of like ADHD pal.
Uh-huh.
Who's easy on the eyes. To help you.
This is almost just called friendship.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah, couldn't be.
Yeah. All right. Great.
Look, your version of it is a lot more wholesome, which is that ADHD people are helping ADHD people. What I want is for a male model to sit with you on Zoom and occasionally ask how you're doing, and you pay that man $300.
Perfect skin and teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, no shirt.
And asking you, tell me more about your high school experience and how it was traumatizing.
Or just to be like, hey, are you hyperfixating? Do you want to take a break?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. Male or female model, right?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly all genders have it. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Great. I mean, I think that could work beautifully.
What should it be called?
Hotties for distractees. Perfect. No notes. Don't fucking think about changing that. That's the org. That's the .edu website.
There's not really a cute name for people with ADHD, is there?
No, there's not. My concern would be transference. On this one, which I guess is
that's a guarantee.
That's almost the point, I guess.
Oh, that is a guarantee of the service.
So yeah, that's why it feels a little bit exploitive to me. The poor ADDs are going to get addicted to not only the ability to not hyper focus, but then these hunks and beauties.
I see. You're worried about them falling in love, and
yeah, we're a sensitive people. Yeah,
sure. Okay,
we're a very sensitive type.
What if they're all hot people that also have ADHD?
I think absolutely.
So if we combine our forces together,
yeah.
So you have to be hot and you have to have ADHD.
Yeah, totally. And hot.
Which is maybe that Venn diagram might just be a circle.
You think so?
Who knows?
I don't know. You think a lot of hot. Yeah. Well,
maybe a lot of hotties got it. Look, there are two hotties on this call got ADHD.
Yeah, that's true.
Danny and Mort.
Yeah, that's true. we're classically attractive. I wonder if it's like any other sort of illness that is, because some are more common with certain like, people that come from different parts of the world are more like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like not to racialize it or whatever, but as far as like age, you know, all that different stuff, I wonder if it's either like, I totally don't know.
I'd have to look a lot more into like what the origin of
your
ADHD
friend that,
is.
Your friend that has ADHD is attractive.
All my friends that have ADHD are attractive.
They are, right?
I have multiple.
Yeah.
And totally. They're all attractive.
Which makes it kind of, it makes me think of in Arrested Development, Charlize Theron plays that. It's, I guess maybe this joke didn't age that well. But
no.
Then,
it didn't.
It didn't, did it?
No.
But it does make me think of that where it's like, this person's so attractive, but they can't get anywhere on time.
Uh-huh.
You know? And you're like, this person's...
So what a great form of employment for them.
Yeah.
If they're late, the person isn't going to be bummed because yes. They also have time blindness. They won't even know.
And here's the thing. It's got to be federally subsidized. We get to use our imagination here. So I'm going to say that in addition, when we're going to make the government give trillions of dollars to mental health care and mental illness and all this stuff, other stuff. And there's going to be a large section of it headed by a person who does not have ADD to help the people that do have ADHD. And they're going to employ these various hotties.
Great.
Yeah.
I really want to come up with a good name for it, but I'm drawing a blank. There's like no cute way to do, how do you do ADHD?
Well, so, okay, follow me on this. So, okay. Attention, go ahead, Danny, what's up?
What if you're going on the hyperfixation? You can have hyper hotties.
Hyper hotties.
Use hyperfixation somehow.
I like it.
I like hyper hotties. Also kinds of sounds a bit sci-fi, which I do like.
My experience with ADHD is that it's almost an overabundance of thoughts.
Okay.
So if you call us thotties, not like that hoe over there, but T-O-U-G-H, hotties for thotties.
Isn't thought like a thing, though? Isn't it like sex?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That stands for that hoe over there, thought.
Oh, that's what thought stands for?
Yeah, I know.
I love it, though. Hotties for thotties.
Yeah.
But T-H-O-U-G-H-T.
Yeah. Hotties for thotties.
Hotties for thotties.
So we'll call us now ADD people are ADHD. Apparently ADD, which I was diagnosed with when I was like 7,
It's always ADHD.
It's ADHD.
Right? Yeah. I remember you being like, I don't think I'm hyperactive. And I was like.
While I was like vibrating off the ground.
You had just like run back and forth, like stimming. And
I think the not thinking that I'm hyperactive thing is a kind of masking. Because I don't want to be hyperactive because I think it's like humiliating to be like, no! I can't stop talking, but I let it, you know what I mean?
I think it's sweet.
And it's not bad for comedy. That's why I was able to do improv for a long time because there are a lot of thoughts come in very quickly.
I like to imagine, by the way, on Hotties for Thotties, what all of the images would be. And it's like hot, burly guys looking at a clock and like shrugging.
Yeah, like I don't know.
I can't read it.
Yeah.
You know?
A smoking lady just like cross-eyed looking at a notepad, just unable to process anything. Yeah.
That's great. Should we how we feel? Should we go to Danny's corner?
Yeah, Danny, you want to come in and show us some products to rebrand?
I will. I can. Yeah. Let me get them.
Ladies and gentlemen, producer extraordinaire, artist. Follow her on Instagram
@
Danny Leart.
Danny Leart.
Danny Leart, LEIGH.
Mhm.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, DANIELEIGH. Right. I have 3 items. The first one, I was umming and ahhing as to whether I was going to show you it, but considering the conversation, I'm doing it. And don't worry, I'm easing us into the new year.
Oh,
we're having some
that
like,
tone really makes me feel like you're lying, but okay.
Let's I'm do not it. Lying. Would I lie to you, Ash? Would I?
That tone makes me think you would.
So this one is something that my mum bought for my 2 nieces for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
Obviously, as the responsible aunt, I had to test it first when she accidentally bought too many. So this is called an Amos Music Lollipop.
Okay.
You put it in your mouth.
Uh-huh.
You put earplugs in and it plays music.
This looks like a butt plug.
Yeah, this feels like a
This is a heart on a stick that looks like
tastes
it's supposed
good.
To go right up the anus. Right up the old colon.
This is at our local pharmacy where I go, the aisle that you stand in to wait in line has all of the vibrators, but they're called like massage wands.
Uh-huh.
That's what this feels.
That's what this is. So you're supposed to put it in your mouth and put headphones on, and it's
no.
Plays
so
a
you
song?
Put
is that
yeah,
right?
yeah yeah yeah. So you put it in your mouth, and then you put earplugs. You could put your fingers in your ears if you wanted to, and then you can hear the music
from inside of your own mouth.
It sounds like you're wearing headphones. It's magical.
Really?
Like,
that's
literally
fucking insane.
That's crazy.
I as like an neurodiverse person.
Yeah.
I'd had a really stressful day that day, going here, there, and everywhere. And my mum was like, hey, have this, try this. It was disassociation heaven.
Really?
Literally, I was like, I was sat on the couch. I laid back, had my head on my husband's lap, and I was just like, heaven. Wow. Absolute heaven.
And better than like, having headphones on with music?
Yeah. And like, see, like, I've even got like the wrapper still.
Yeah.
Because they have like, things on like funny little instructions and then a QR code on the side. It's so that you can hear the music if you want to check the music. And they have all different themes. Like they have a K-pop one. I really don't know what this one was supposed to be, apart from it tasted amazing.
Oh, it tastes good.
Oh, so good. Like literally, if I could buy a bucket of just that taste as well,
really?
I would. Yeah.
Well, my rebrand thought for this is just to make it a butt plug and see what happens.
Yeah. I think it's, and especially there's already like what appears to be one of the ADHD hotties on the front cover.
Isn't this just a Scanner Darkly man?
Yeah. 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 This
gets you going, honey?
Yeah. He's a rotoscope hunk. I don't know. Don't you think there's something sort of like he looks like he has the tasty sounds in his asshole. Doesn't look there's.
He does. Also the way that the heart is coming up over him, it looks like he shoved it so far up his ass that it's in his chest cavity.
Yeah. Look, I'm sure this is one
blueberry flavor.
It is. And it's definitely like it's probably reverberating like around your skull, which is like what makes it feel and sound so amazing. I like that you like it. I also don't know that I want this to turn into a thing where we're actually talking about products that we like, because it feels like we're just promoting things.
I just want to say I'm looking at the different photos and this one just says listen music through your mouth.
Oh, yeah. It's bizarre. It's the weird. There's definitely faults with it. But,
easy, enjoy, tasty sounds.
Yeah, and then it says using bone conduction.
I hate that. I'm off the train. I'm off the train. What do you mean bone conduction?
Yeah, honey, you're not familiar with that audio technology, bone conduction?
No! I didn't give you permission to conduct my bones?
That sounds like the the mascot for like a heavy metal band who's like he's a skeleton but he's got like a amplifier made of bones.
Oh, that's fun.
He works with bone conduction, I feel like.
Yeah, I think for me, the big rebrand on this is shove it up your butt and then report back.
Yeah, I think it's great.
And you can't sue us.
Yeah.
That does it, right? If I just say you can't sue us.
Yeah, I think it is sexy whether it wants to be or not. And if you want to sponsor us, it's going to cost a lot, but
it's going to cost so much.
But we will accept sponsorship.
Yes, that's right.
We need the bag as the kids used to say 10 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, Danny, what do you got? What's next?
Right. I have, I can relate this to ADHD because it one part of ADHD. I don't know about you, Mort, but my timeline is and everything. Mm. I get stuck into something and everything else goes to shit.
Yes.
So this is something where you could multitask. It is a kids ride on go-kart mop.
Kids ride on mop?
What?
This is where you turn your child into a maid, kind of.
This is child labor made easy.
Yeah.
So imagine, if you will, dear listeners, one of those like tricycles, like what Danny has in The Shining, but flatter, and there's a mop at the front. Mm-hmm. So your kid can pedal around your house and clean it at the same time.
It's kind of great. Honestly, this is another, I understand why you're doing this. Cause I mean, I could see a kid actually having fun with
this. Oh, I would love this.
Yeah. I had like a big wheel when I was little.
Yeah, right. It's a big wheel, but
in place of the big wheel, it's a mop.
It's a mop.
Yeah.
I will say the implications for the fact that you are using your child to clean your home is it makes me feel something.
Yeah, there's a darkness to this.
There's a darkness to it.
There's definitely like a child labor dystopian. No one has time to clean the house because they're so busy slaving for capitalism.
It also says kids go-kart on the side, which really makes it seem like it's trying to trick the child.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's just it's a kid's go-kart, dear.
Yeah, if something is fun, you don't have to put kids on it. They know to use it if it's fun.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I feel like it also is there to sort of distract from the mop so that like, if a kid has any questions, be like, look, it says kids go-kart right on the side, honey.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I was thinking like as a child, I don't know. I could see if you could actually turn it into a game, it might be kind of fun for a kid to like get all the dust bunnies into a like gamify it. You know?
Yeah, sure.
But that still is turning your children into your servant.
Yes, it is. It really does feel like putting a wrapper over child labor.
Yep.
And it's putting a bow on child labor.
And the design.
But it's got lights.
There's nothing about it that it's very sleek and sort of modern in its design as opposed to being like kid friendly. So it's also concerned aesthetically that it like it's for the parent that wants to, I don't know, wants
the minimalist
to look like
aesthetic.
Sophisticated and yes. Modern, you know.
I will also say the child actor that they have, the child model that they have sitting on the go-kart doesn't look happy.
No. And
her mouth is sort of agape as if suggesting a smile, but mostly she looks confused.
Yeah, she has the look on her face like when you're trying to get a dog to look into the camera and they do briefly and you just have to use that one. You know,
I feel like we should do a whole line. If we're going to go child labor, let's do it.
I'm
like,
saying go all in.
Go all in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like make, they have the sort of kitchen play set for kids that's like everything's plastic. Just make that a real kitchen.
Yeah, totally.
Just shrink a real kitchen, but live burners.
Yep.
You know, do a like a Muppet Babies, but for the bear.
Totally. One that's it's SpongeBob sponges for your kid to do the dishes for you.
That's actually really good.
I like it.
That's really good.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The toy lawnmower that has the little, you know, the balls that bounce around, except it is an actual lawnmower with dangerous blades.
Totally. A vacuum cleaner that's got Cookie Monster on the side, so it looks like he's just eating all the
dirt. Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, that's why we did this show, honey.
I know, you're really good at it.
Rebranding genius.
We'll call it Child...
Kid Slave.
Kids.
Kid Slave.
We call it that?
Yeah. So, it's like play in the play school font, but it's
says Kid backwards. Slave.
But then really small underneath. For legal reasons, this is a joke.
Kid Slave, but the S is backwards. Perfect.
Yeah, right.
Okay, what do you got else? What else you got? Should we do one more?
Yeah, this one is just something that I found a long time ago. It's one of the funniest, most pointless gifts I have ever seen that you could possibly give to a person. And yes, it is real. It's the diamond potato.
Oh!
We put diamonds on a potato. Okay, so this was made by Cards Against Humanity. So it is a joke.
Yeah, yeah, it's supposed to be funny, yeah.
But they actually sold it.
Did they actually?
They
real
sold
diamonds,
like,
real potato,
amount.
Diamond potato.
$69.99, nice.
Hell yeah, nice.
Look at these diamonds. Look at the stain. Yeah, this is funny. So wait, but these are real diamonds? Wouldn't that be
way more?
So much money?
I'm confused.
So they did it a few years ago, I think, but it was for like a Black Friday.
The diamonds are real. And they had like a limited amount. Do I want diamond potato? Everyone wants diamond potato. This
is
pretty funny.
This is funny, but
this is the funniest thing that Cards Against Humanity has done.
Without a doubt, yeah.
So it's just a potato with a bunch of... It looks like they're just a bunch of like diamond studs, like earrings.
Yeah.
Just shoved into the potato.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's fun. It says things like elegant and iconic and stuff. Yeah, it's funny. This is a little bit of a thing that I don't love, which is like, it kind of feels like a satire of capitalism, but it's actually just capitalism.
Yeah, I mean,
But it's fun.
It is funny, though. It is a satire, and it is a product that they sold.
That's what capitalism does. It takes all good art and just absorbs it and makes it, turns it back into an exploitable opportunity. But yeah, I don't love that we're now promoting again, diamond potato people. If you want us to promote you on your show, we will. We need that bag.
So, I mean, there is, I guess the rebrand for this, would be, cause it's, I mean, it is a joke, is to make it not a joke, is to make it like a genuine, like make a potato, out of silver, like in the shape of a potato, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's like sort of, that's kind of artful. I sort of like that.
Yeah. Like with diamonds all along, like actually have it be, cause there's, I forget what store. But there's frequently on TikTok, like, one of those high-end stores that makes a product that is so fucking insane and costs $3,000. Like, it's a reusable shopping bag. Uh-huh. Like, it literally looks like you went to Sprouts and got a reusable bag, but they, for some reason, are charging $3,000 for it.
Yeah.
I feel like those fuckers would buy silver potato.
What you're describing sounds like something that is in the Museum of Metropolitan Art or something. Like, I think that would be a really, really beautiful piece, actually.
I think probably what I would do is, because a potato is a little bit of an amorphous shape, is I would do a vegetable that has a more distinct look.
Yeah, like a celery or something.
Or like a beet.
Yeah.
A carrot.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you could have a golden carrot.
Yeah.
Golden carrot.
Beautifully shining in the, and like well curated museum light. I think you could get $900,000 for that.
Hell yeah.
You know, you just get like a, you get a real craftsman as far as their ability to shape gold.
Yes.
And make a something that looks like hyper realistic carrot, but gold.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And then have it studded with diamonds.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, do the take the joke, but then actually make it a real thing.
Yep, and then bring it to one of those high end auction houses and get traded for 11 fucking real estate. My brain shut down now. bye.
Oh,
too much podcasting. I podcasted yesterday.
He podcasted so much he passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ooh, podcasted to death.
It's on the autopsy report. Cause of death.
Cause of death. Podcasting.
Oh God.
God. Oh God. I think we did it.
I think this has been so fun. And also I do want to say for this, I don't always say this, but I would love to hear people's experiences with hyperfocus. Cause this really is something that continues to affect me and I'm open to trying different shit. So write a long review in the app
with medical advice
thing, with medical advice. Say, I am a doctor, whether you are or not. No, but let
we'll
us
believe
like,
you.
Truly let us know how you're dealing with hyperfixation and is it something you, cause it just took me so long to recognize what it is.
Right.
And why I do it and how that's like, it's exemplary of a deeper issue, which is one that I'm grateful to be healing in 2026.
Very proud of you, honey.
Thanks, honey.
Thank you again, Danny. Once more, you can find Danny at Danny Lee Art on Instagram. That's DANILEIGH Art. I was wrong. I did it wrong. Danny, what is it?
DANIELEIGH
Art.
What did you say?
I forgot the E.
Oh, yeah.
I was so close.
Yep.
And where can the people find us, honey?
You can find us at Rebrand the Pod on Instagram. We got some followers now, baby. We're posting clips and all that stuff. Go follow us. Danny is a brilliant, brilliant producer who handles a lot of that for us. And thanks, D. Dubs, that's my cool nickname for her. Yeah, she hates it.
I'll take it. No, I'll take it.
She made
I'll
a face.
Yeah.
Didn't like it. Yeah.
And then, find us on... We have a Patreon, honey. You aware of this?
We have a Patreon?
We have a fucking Patreon, you
what?
Guys. For a mere $5 a month, did you know that you can join our Patreon and support this incredible show?
Only $5?
Yeah, and you get stuff like unaired episodes? Are you fuck kidding me? And you get, pictures of Cody, you get ad-free episodes? $5 a month? Have we lost our minds
here at
Rebrand?
Have we lost our ever-loving minds?
It's insane. Anyway, it seems like the deal of the century.
Deal of a lifetime, really.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah.
Deal generational savings. We pass them on to you here at Rebrand. And follow me at Mort Burke and see the reels that I'm obsessing over.
And that's it. We love you. Goodbye.
Rebrand.